On the phone, we do have Sam Landy, the president and CEO of Project Development for UMH Properties. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Are you keeping warm wherever you are?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
So where are you this morning? Are you in Coxsackie or?
No, the Freehold, New Jersey area, IR office.
And so your company is out of New Jersey, but you want to build a bunch of homes in Coxsackie. Can you tell us about the project?
Sure. Well, UMH Properties has been in New York State for many years. We own seven communities in New York. We're in Monticello, the Buffalo area. We're in Clifton Park. We're in Saratoga. And all the way back in 2005, when the housing market was very good, we were looking for land zoned to allow a manufactured home community. And we found, at the time, 180 acres in the village of Coxsackie with city water, city sewer, zoned to allow a 330-space community. So we go ahead. Yes.
No, you finish.
Yeah, so we purchased the property, but before we purchased the property, you know, I've been doing development of manufactured home communities since 1987. So I thought that I knew what I was doing, and I arranged to meet with the mayor and council before we purchased the property. We met with them at the property. Some of the directors of my company were present. We said, at the time, the name of our company was United Mobile Homes. We all looked at this property, which the surrounding homes, in fact, are manufactured homes, factory-built houses. Some dating back as long as the 1960s. And we looked and we felt that this property was very in character for our use, for building a manufactured home community. It was properly zoned. And we met the mayor and the trustees there, and we said, name of our company is United Mobile Homes. We want to build a manufactured home community here. But if you don't want us, just tell us, because we have no interest in 10 years of litigation. And they talked, and we talked about it, and then we went back to the village hall. And they all sat in their council seats, and they had an informal vote. This was no formal meeting. We knew we still had to go through planning board approval, et cetera. But they all had a vote right there, and they said they didn't object to the concept. So based on that, we purchased the property. And just a short 2 weeks later, the Albany Times Union wrote an article that we bought the property. Then the next thing we knew, a bunch of people showed up at town hall protesting. And then the village adopted a moratorium to stop development while they analyzed their zoning ordinance. And that moratorium lasted for 3 years. And during that three-year period, they held many hearings, and they did a very professional job determining how to properly zone the property to build a modern manufactured home community. And while those 3 years were going on, we submitted a variance from the moratorium so we could make our application. And that application was for a 280-space, 55 and older community. And that application went through the entire seeker process during those 3 years. And in the seeker process, our problems were short-eared owls. And, you know, you have city water and city sewer, but those were the issues. We never had a final hearing from the planning board on site plan review of that 280-lot application. That is still out there pending. But in an act of respect to the village, they went through this whole process and adopted a new ordinance, a new master plan. And in the new master plan, they zoned us so that 47 acres of the property were for 160 homes that could be all age. So we submitted a second application to 100% comply with the ordinance that they spent 3 years and an awful lot of work adopting. And that application's pending. So on this second application that was filed somewhere about 2008, 2009 in that area, we've been asking for a hearing. And every time we ask for a hearing, the answer is, the village is under a sewer moratorium. We can't grant you a hearing. But the current status is the construction of the new prison. They're getting ready to expand the sewer plant. They're going to solve their sewer problem. So we would like a hearing on the second application so we can commence construction to be built at the time the sewer is in place. But now I got to tell you, for the past 2 years, we went in front of the village trustees and we said, do you have any objection to our application other than there's no sewer? And they said, no objection, it's just the sewer issue. So we sat and waited. But now that they're going to get the sewer, the planning board proposed a new ordinance that will allow only 40 homes on the 110 acres. And so that completely would wipe out the feasibility of building a manufactured home community. So, of course, you know, we have to figure out what to do. So number one is, you know, we have to educate the public about what it is we want to build, that we want to build the highest end modern manufactured home community. It'll be nationally renowned. It'll be great for the village of Coxsackie. They're going to be beautiful homes with attached garages. They're going to, each house will have a crawl space. It's going to create jobs in the area of building the garages, jobs in the area of building the crawl spaces, the landscaping, the roads, water, sewer. There's going to be a 3,000-square-foot clubhouse overlooking the Hudson River. We want bridle trails surrounding the property. We want to take the existing barns and have horses back in them. We own 114 communities, 20,000 manufactured home sites. Anybody can look at our record. Anybody can look at our website, look at our YouTube videos, drone videos of the communities. We have a good reputation everywhere we are, and we think we can build the finest manufactured home community built in the Northeast and build it in the village of Coxsackie, and that's what we want to do.
All right, let's try to I'm not from Coxsackie, so I don't know about a lot of these issues, but I know when we're reporting on Coxsackie, usually we're reporting about a sewer overflow or sewage going into the Hudson River or a flood there or something. Whenever it rains a lot, there seems to be water problems. So they have a sewer issues, and I believe it's 2018 is now when the construction of the new sewer is finally happening after years and years of waiting?
Yes, there's a real possibility that construction will start in 2018. Nothing's guaranteed.
Construction of the sewer, not of your homes, but of the sewer.
Right, yeah. Construction of the sewer. It has to do with expanding the prison or building a new prison, that there's money available, and they, you know, just like we're under a moratorium for sewer.
Well, that's not the new, you mean the new jail, I'm assuming, not
yes.
Prison. And that's very much up in the air. That may not happen. So that money might not come if the jail, if they're currently in discussions about whether they want to share with Columbia County the jail or stay in Catskill. So there are, it's very much an unsettled issue. So you're saying they're waiting on whether the jail issue being settled before they start the sewer project?
Well, that I'm not positive about. What I know.
Well, you said they need that money for.
Well, yes, they do need the money. Every municipality has a legal obligation, you know, to provide sewer and not pollute the Hudson River. So the village of Coxsackie has that obligation. We are hoping that they have found a solution. You know, they've been under this consent order for many, many years.
And this is this is a problem with lots of communities up and down the Hudson River right now dealing with the same sort of thing.
Correct. They're going to have to come up with a solution. This is one solution. There's a lot of reason to believe that the jail is not the determining factor in whether or not they can fix the sewer. There's other ways, including monetary contributions from UMH, because I've pointed out to the village, in 2018, I don't know of a town anywhere in the country that only charges a $200 per unit hookup fee. We're willing to pay a $5,000 per unit hookup fee. They have the opportunity to raise more money without increasing the use fees for their existing residents by charging a reasonable hookup fee like every other municipality in the country does.
And so you think there's a way to get that sewer started, but the town has locked you in. You can't get this building project going until the sewer situation is settled in some way.
Well, not really. You see, okay, so it's the village, first of all.
The village,
not
I'm sorry,
the town,
yeah.
Because there's a town of Coxsackie and a village
right.
of Coxsackie. If the village wanted to cooperate with UMH, the Department of Environmental Protection has said they have no objection to us putting in our own sewage treatment plant or our own wells, but they will only allow it if they receive a letter from the village saying the village has no objection. And we tried to tell the village, listen, we've done this before. We can easily put in a temporary sewage treatment plant that we would remove and do everything at our cost until you have city sewer. We would, in fact, never need to connect to city sewer, but we'd be willing to do it because we understand the municipality needs the hookup fees and the use fees. So, and we build in phases. So we would only build 50 lots at a time. 50 lots, you're talking about, you know, 15,000 gallons of sewage. It's not a big deal. We can easily handle it. We own 220 acres scientifically to create a sewage treatment plant to handle the first, second, third phases, which that will go out about 3 to 5 years. That's no problem. So there is a solution to the sewer besides the municipality. And by letting us build, they'll improve their economy. They'll collect tax revenue. It would be good for them to let us start now.
And you're, I guess I'll back up a second. You're interested in this site because you think that homeowners will want to live there because of the access to the interstate. The it's a place. You know, the Greene County IDA focuses much of its development on Coxsackie because of the infrastructure that is there along Route 9W and the interstate there. So there's jobs moving in. The prison is there with the largest employer in the county, and there's other manufacturing jobs and shipping jobs along there.
There's help wanted signs all along Route 9N. I really believe the Chamber of Commerce and the IDA should be supporting us. Affordable housing is needed by all employers. If you speak to the people who own those warehouses, own the businesses, they can't get workers. And the reason they can't get workers is the workers can't get affordable housing. We build the highest quality affordable housing. These houses will retail for about $220,000. When you calculate somebody's monthly payment, including the taxes, water, insurance, everything, it's going to be about $2,000 per month. And these are single-family homes with attached garages. It's the incomes they'll need are about $60,000 per year household income. But it is quality, affordable housing for the area. The area is phenomenally beautiful. You're a quarter mile from the Hudson River. You can see Hunter Mountain from the property. You're 20 miles south of Albany. You're just off 87. You know, we couldn't find a better location, and we're very excited to build this community and think it could be one of UMH's property's best communities.
Now, some of the opposition, I guess, comes from people think that you could, because you have the word mobile in your name of your company, that these are going to be mobile homes, but these are modular homes, not mobile homes. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so years ago, we changed the name of the company from United Mobile Homes to UMH Properties. We're very proud of the manufactured homes that were built in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. They served their purpose. They were affordable homes. They lasted. They still last today, okay? But imagine you were looking at cars that were built in the 60s and 70s today. They don't look good compared to the cars of today. So the new product is a much higher quality product than what was built in the 60s, 70s, 80s. But there are plenty of those homes in the village of Coxsackie, and there's nothing wrong with those homes. But this project will be 512 roof pitch, vinyl-sided, shingle roof, brick or concrete block crawl spaces built on site, individual driveways, 3,000 square foot two-story clubhouse that possibly will have views of the Hudson River. The improvements, and you could go to Titan Homes websites. Titan Homes is in Sangerfield, New York. That's where the homes will be built. You could see pictures of all the homes on their website. You can go to the UMH website, look at our communities. I have never had anybody come to the communities and not like the houses. In fact, what they say is how can anyone object to this?
Well, I assume that part of the opposition is, and every time you probably build, you have opposition, is when you're turning a dairy farm and there's current neighbors who bought their house next to a dairy farm, and then they're now going to be living next to something else. So you probably have some of this opposition is the direct neighbors, I'm guessing?
Yes, there are 17 homes adjoining us. Not all of those people object, but the ones that do, part of the reason we want to have the hearing and get in front of the planning board, that's where you negotiate buffers and the type of trees that will be planted between properties. You know, we're going to have this 3,000-square-foot clubhouse with swimming pool, tennis courts, bridal paths, and we can talk to the people who live in those homes and give them membership to our clubhouse because we understand there is some level of inconvenience for those people. And we are very willing to talk to them, very willing to solve their problems. We don't want to hurt anybody. UMH, we're very proud of providing quality housing to 20,000 families. We're a good neighbor in every village, every city we're in. We're willing to contribute to help fix the sewer problems, water problems. And we're talking about monetary contributions we're willing to make to the village to help solve their problems that we have no obligation to solve, but we're willing to do it. And we're also willing to work with those neighbors to lessen their burden as much as we possibly can. But I cannot economically build a 40-space community. It makes no sense, and it's not what UMH does.
And so currently you're in front of the planning board, and you're waiting to get a public hearing that every project has to go through in front of a planning board? Is that where you are?
So we have... Yes, we have two applications pending in front of a planning board, one for the 280-space all-age, one for the 160-space family. But under the village ordinance, I first need a license, and the license is granted by the village trustees. And the village trustees will not grant me the license to send me to the planning board because of the sewer moratorium. We have said to them, listen, grant the license contingent on solution to the sewer. But they won't do that. But that's one level of a problem, okay? That's a problem, okay? But that's not an insurmountable problem, right? I can wait for the city sewer, or one day I can convince them that I could put in my own temporary sewer. That's a problem, you know, we could probably deal with. The problem I can't deal with without litigation is this new ordinance they've proposed, which, by the way, I think we're the only piece of vacant land of any substance in the village of Coxsackie. So they've proposed a new ordinance which will stop me from building a manufactured home community unless I want to do a 40-space community on 110 acres. I say that's not legal. I say it's not right. It's certainly not fair after all we've been through since 2005. And, you know, I have to stop that.
So you're saying that basically this proposal in front of the board is targeted at basically you. It's not a general law, so it would be something that an Article 78 lawsuit could overturn.
Exactly. Back in 2005, when they adopted the moratorium and spent 3 years adopting a new master plan, they were amending all their ordinance. That's perfectly legal and perfectly acceptable. This time, it is solely in response to the fact that they're about to or potentially could solve the sewer problem, and therefore, instead of continuing to tell us for the last 2 years that they have no objection except that there's no sewer, now they got a problem. There's going to be sewer, so now they want to shut me down with this new ordinance, and that's a big problem.
And you think they realize that it's not economically feasible to build that amount of housing that they're trying to limit you to so that you'll basically go away if they pass this ordinance.
Exactly.
So the proposal you want now is for, say it again, it's 280 units on 110 acres and another 140 units, is that what you said?
So let me try to be as clear as I can about this. The first application under the ordinance at the time was for 260, 55 and older, on 110 acres, right? So that application's pending. And what I've always said, if you want this to be 55 and older, you have an application. It can be 55 and older. On the other hand, your new ordinance that you adopted in 2007, 8, 9, whatever year it was exactly, that ordinance is all age. It's on 47 acres. They rezoned my property. It's a 47-acre piece, and it will allow 160 homes. So I filed an application for the 160 on the 47 acres. From my point of view, I'm happy with either one, right? I'd love
to
build.
So it's not a both. It's you're going to build.
It's not a both.
Okay, you're going to build one or the other. It's not 400 houses.
Right, and so what I've tried to say to the village, and you know, they haven't been able to answer me, and they won't answer me. Which one do you prefer? I'll do whatever one you prefer, but I get no answer there. You know, they say it's not up to us what we prefer. Which one are you applying for? So I think that my best lawsuit, right? My best lawsuit is the 160 homes on the 47 acres, because that 100% complies with their no ordinance, and I really don't believe they have any legal right to turn it down.
And they passed this new ordinance after they knew about your property, too. So you
100%.
Could, you could challenge that in court, too, if you wanted.
They adopted the moratorium in response to our purchase of the property. They went through a three-year process. They did very, very good studies. You know, it was very professional. There were big public hearings, and they rezoned the village. And from that, they came with us 47 acres, 160 homes. And we filed our application 100% in compliance. So, yes, that application, I don't see how they can legally deny it. And now they're trying to rezone us again, and that's what I think is improper.
They're going through a town-wide rezoning or just your specific?
No. One class of properties, which is strictly manufactured housing, but there's only one piece of property in the village zoned for manufactured housing, and that's us. So it's a direct attack on us to stop us from building the community we want to build.
And judges do tend to rule in favor when it's when towns pass laws that are targeted at just one project or development or situation, and not meant to be universal.
I find the absurdity of the village wanting to spend money litigating this when they need money to fix their waters and sewers. I find it to be an absurdity. I believe that we should be able to work out our differences, to talk about what is the proper sewer hookup fees, what contributions can we make to help solve their water problems. You know, we're very willing to be cooperative and be a good neighbor, and I can't imagine how we can't solve our differences.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Sam Landy, the president and CEO of Project Development for UMH Properties, who's trying to build some homes in Coxsackie. So I'm guessing that I know you have some not in my backyard opposition from people, and we talked to at least one of those people on this show a few weeks ago. But I'm wondering if you have it seems like if you would bring all these new people to Coxsackie, that there would be some business owners who would be happy about new possible customers. Do you have can you name some people or businesses that support your project in the community?
Well, I haven't obtained specific supporters. I did put on the opposition's website a date that I would appear at the property. I appeared there. Not one person showed up to talk to me. I went around the village, told people who I was, told them what I wanted to do. I didn't, you know, nobody said to me, "Oh, we don't want you." It wasn't, none of that occurred. You know, one of the difficulties we have, right, to get people to say they support your project, that's very hard. You know, it's much easier to get people to say they object. But the fact is, even when we go to these hearings and they're objectors, it's 25, 30 people. You know, there's 3,000-plus people who live in the village. And one of the things I find most unfair about local zoning, the people who have no say are the people who don't live there but need the affordable housing. So all the people who live in the Albany area and other places and want to come into the village of Coxsackie to work, they have no say in this matter. Only the local people have a say. And then when you look at it, you know, on the worst day, 30 objectors show up. I really don't believe that's a ground to amend an ordinance that was properly adopted.
And this affordable housing issue is a problem all over the state in particular, but all over the country. Do you have this sort of problem with opposition when you try to build affordable housing in other places?
Well, you know, there's always one or two objectors, okay? There's always going to be a neighbor who objects. It never happens. There's no objectors. But at the same time I say that, in Nashville, we bought a 300-space community. We were getting the approvals within 1 year to turn it to 600 spaces. In the Nashville area, we have other communities where we're building 50 lots here, 60 lots there. All of the approvals were obtained within 1 year. In Pennsylvania, we have expansions going on. We just built 50 lots just outside Saratoga, New York, in Greenwich Township. We built lots in Monticello, New York. We built lots, it's already 10, 15 years ago, in Clifton Park, New York. So we're building and expanding all the time. There is no place where I feel as badly mistreated as the village of Coxsackie. To purchase that property in 2005, to tell the trustees, this is what we intend to do, tell us if you don't want us, and then have them tell us they didn't have an objection, and to now spend 11 years without building any homes except the model, and the model is there, fully set up, and these very same people who object and won't talk rationally about the project have never even walked in the model to this day.
And so you haven't talked to the opposition. They're not willing to talk to you? Is that what you said before?
Well, there's different people. J.D. Fielding, I've spoken to him. We met. We talked. You know, I went on his website. I spoke to him. But there are trustees and people on the planning board who have never been to the model. That upsets me. You know, if you're going to object to something, know the facts. I've invited anybody who's a village trustee on the planning board or an interested party, come see our properties. I'll arrange a bus, a van. Let us take you to go see what we did in Clifton Park, Saratoga. Have a look at it, but they don't look.
And so this has been an 11-year process. You're not in front of the planning board now because the trustees are holding it off because of the sewer moratorium? So you're not in front of the planning board, but you're just in front of the trustees?
Two applications, 100% in front of the planning board. The planning board needs to deem something complete. The planning board will not deem it complete because we don't have the license that the village trustees has to issue. So to the extent our application with the planning board is incomplete, it's incomplete because one thing is missing, and that's the license that the trustees issue that they send it back to the planning board.
So you're not going to monthly planning board meetings, and there's something going on every month. It's basically just on hold.
Correct. But once a year, we've gone to the trustees, to the village trustees. We've said, will you please issue us the license subject to us solving the sewer so we can get the planning board process done so the minute the sewer is solved, we can go forward. And 2 years in a row, the trustees said to us, we're not going to do that because potentially it creates legal liability. Now they've admitted they have to fix their sewer. They don't fix the sewer. Maybe I have a lawsuit. I kind of understand why they don't want to do it, but at the same time, we've asked them to do it to get us in front of the planning board, and they haven't done it. Now, if we were in a municipality that wanted to grow, the way to grow, sign off, tell the Department of Environmental Protection you have no objection to us building our own sewer treatment plant temporarily, because then that would solve the whole problem, and we could just go forward.
And you've already gone through the seeker part of the planning board process, is that?
Yeah, yes, 100% on the 280 lots. And the issues, one was short-eared owls, which that's a whole story of, in my opinion, how the objectors at that time tried to stop us. But short of that, it's a hurdle. We can solve the problem. We lose 14, 18 acres, but okay, we solve the problem. Eight owls should have a home on 14 acres. We'll give the eight owls the 14 acres. But at least we get to go forward. Now, this is a new attempt to stop us, which is rezone us to allow only 40 houses. I got no solution to that problem. I can't solve that one.
Okay, so that's what's before the village board right now, this rezoning issue?
Exactly. The planning board approved, and I don't know how they did it. I don't think they knew what they were doing, okay? The planning board, you know, it's people who live in the village. They want to get along. I don't think those people specifically had it in for UMH, okay? Someone told them, we want to propose this new ordinance. They looked at it. They said, okay, well, we'll recommend it to the trustees. Now they're recommending it to the trustees. Now it's in front of the trustees. If the trustees approve it, in my opinion, somebody had it in for UMH, because this is designed to absolutely stop us and to really hurt us, because we have millions of dollars in the plans, both for the 280 lots and for the 160 lots. You don't design 280 lots for free. That costs a lot of money. And same with the 160 lots that we did separately. Both of those cost a lot of money. And to get the first hearing, when they adopted that first moratorium, we had to apply for a variance, and that cost a lot of money. So we have big money in this project, and for them to now try to stop us with this 40 lot, that is meant to hurt us. That's not a friendly gesture. That is meant to hurt us.
And there's a Coxsackie Village Board meeting this Monday, January 8th at 7 p.m. Is this zoning issue going to be brought up then?
Yes, this is the second hearing on adopting the ordinance. If they adopt the ordinance, they've cornered us, they've stopped us. We have no choice but litigation.
So there'll be a public hearing Monday, January 8th at the Coxsackie Village Board meeting if people want to come out and speak out one way or the other on this issue. And then you expect them to vote on it Monday or in February?
Well, my understanding is they vote Monday, I of course would like them to adjourn it, put it off. You know, they still haven't been in the house. Come in the house. Come talk to us. Isn't there something else we could do besides adopt this ordinance? So I hope they put it off and we talk.
And if they don't put it off and they vote on it against you, I guess, are you going to file an Article 78?
Yeah, I mean, we have no choice. We have no choice.
But you, I guess, would rather not. And it sounds like from the beginning, you'd rather not have been spending 11 years on this project.
Exactly. But, you know, once we got started and once you, you know, put that much money in, and it is such a great property, we're not going to give up. I mean, I've told them, whether I build it or my children build it, it's going to get built.
All right, so anybody listening, if you're interested in this issue, the Village Board meeting Monday, January 8th at 7 p.m. is probably where you want to go. You're listening to WGXC Acre at 90.7 FM, and we're talking with Sam Landy, the president and CEO of Project Development for UMH Properties. Sam, is there anything else you want to tell about this story before we go?
No, Coxsackie's a beautiful village. It's a great place. More people should live there. The merchants should do better. If you're trying to drive from Clifton Park to Albany in the morning, right, the traffic's outrageous. And if you're trying to drive from Albany to Clifton Park in the afternoon, the traffic's outrageous. The traffic is far better from the village of Coxsackie to Albany and back. It's a tremendous location. It's unbelievable that it hasn't been developed. More people lived there in 1900 than live there today.
And you want to give out your website address if people want to look up more information about UMH Properties?
Sure, umh.com. We also have a Facebook page for Mountain View Estates, and you can see exactly what we do. And again, the Titan Homes website's fantastic. They're beautiful houses.
Mountain View Estates is the name of the proposed properties?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
All right. Thank you for joining us today, Sam Landy, and explaining your side of this issue.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. That was Sam Landy from UMH Properties. on the WGXC morning show.